Good morning, everyone. That's a man who's been having a good morning. That's what we'd like to hear. Good morning. All right. It's good. Another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today's lesson will be about, well, the title is Watch. Now, very important thing that we should do. Of course, there are several things in scriptures that says that we should be vigilant and watchful. That is, we live and continue to walk with God. We must watch ourselves as we await the return of the Lord. We are also watching and waiting for Him, and we are to be watchmen and watching what is going on in the world so that we can know what's going on and guard ourselves against a lot of the doctrines and traditions and whatnot. So we can just look at that a little bit, watching, because we mostly should watch ourselves so that we will not fall into diverse sins and pleasures of this world. Well, the one word that we have in the lesson is the porter, a man that has charge of a door or a gate. In other words, a doorkeeper, one that waits at the door to receive messages and can convey those messages to the populace. A carrier, a person who carries or conveys burdens for hire. A porter is a watchman. Remember that the scripture says about the watchman. Y'all remember that, huh? You have to watch. What do a porter or a watchman do? They watch and pay attention to what's going on. And they are usually the first person to have the information from afar or someone's approaching. They know that before anybody else, because probably everybody else is having a good time or asleep, maybe, you know. So another word is watch, the act or fact of keeping awake, especially of keeping awake and alert in order to look after and protect or guard. Of course, some people may look after the sick, you know, but we're talking about watching over the gates and watching over the city to make sure that the city is not overtaken so easily. Somebody rise up and put on your armor and let's go to battle, okay? Now, the Romans had their night watch divided into four. There was the evening, the midnight, the cock crow, and the morning watch. And sometimes, you know, like even now in the cities, we have security guards. They don't always be policemen, but sometimes they are. And they watch over buildings when no one else is there. Because it's really strange, because I think about how even at work you had to have certain pass cards and whatnot, or pass codes to get into your office. And they always told you, you know, if there's somebody you see that you've never seen before, don't use your passcode to let them in, even if it's in the elevator, because they have secure floors. They don't let anybody just get off on that floor because they don't want other people there. So many things happening with people wanting to bomb places or take advantage of people. So we had all these different secure measures and whatnot, and pretty much they work, you know. But every now and then you have a person who forgot their little fob or their little security pass, and then they want you to open the door for them, you know. And they say, don't open the door for him, even if you know him. Let him go to the front desk and get a visitor's pass. That's what they would give him. That's right. So security is important. So and so what we need to do is be vigilant and watchful. Let's go to 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 26, because guard the city. 2 Samuel 18, verse 24 through 26. Now, David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There's another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." See, when they're running, they definitely bring some news to the king. See, now, this is concerning the announcement of Absalom's well-being. David was definitely concerned about Absalom. David sat at the gates, and he was waiting for the word of his son. At the gate was a watchman, and looking out, and saw someone running toward the city. He reported that to David, and when he saw another man running, he called this out to a porter. So, these people have especially important roles in being able to be the first person to respond to what's going on from afar and from near, to be able to give a report to the king. Let's go to 2 Kings 17 and 9. Second Kings 17 and verse 9. It says, "Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified watchtower." And why in the world would they do these things, build up rebellious things that was against God? So you remember, it's important to note that even though you have watchmen watching, remember the scripture says, except God watch, then you watch in vain. So in other words, if you are practicing, you know, idolatry or anything like that, how could you expect God to help, you know, watch over your city and protect you? It's not possible. So we ask God to watch over us, as well as those that we appoint to these positions, because they might miss something. You know, guards go to sleep. They sure do. I've seen some guards, you know, they don't even guard. You know, they just go sit down and hide themselves, you know, as they're not interested in what the post is for. Now, they're supposed to walk a beat, you know, walk around. They don't do that. They do what they want to do until somebody comes to relieve them. And so they're not always vigilant. That's the point. But you need people to be vigilant because it's an important position that they have. Let's go to Song of Solomon. Here's another incident of a person dealing with a watchman. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 3. The watchman knows what's going on. They're supposed to know, I guess, when you come out of your house and whatnot. Because in this incident, the watchman who go about the city found me. And I said, "Have you seen the one I love?" I don't know if they're supposed to know the one you love, but I'm sure she figured that if the one she loved was walking and roaming around the city, maybe the watchman probably saw him. And so she asked, "Did the watchman see the one that she loved?" But these days, you don't even have that many police roaming or riding around the cities, I guess because they don't have enough funds or whatever. I wish they wouldn't tell everybody that they don't have enough police. You know, because the criminals say, "Okay, I can go and do what I want to do now." See? So, no, they shouldn't be saying things like that, but they do. Another place that's guarded is the First Chronicles chapter 9, verse 17 through 27. We'll go through that. The guards of the temple. Wow. verse 17 says, and the gatekeepers were, you know, they mentioned the names. You know, I'll pass that part up, okay? And their brethren. Solomon was the chief. Until then, they had been gatekeepers for the camps of the children of Levi at the king's gate on the east. Solomon, the son of Kor, the son of Ebiasaph, however you say that, the son of Korah and his brethren from his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacles. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had been the officer over them in time past. The Lord was with them. See, that's another important point again. The Lord was with them. And so if the Lord watched with them, they watch in vain. But these people had different offices. You had the chief, and then you had somebody under him, and somebody under him, and they had their different positions that they had to guard within the temple. See, in verse 21 says, Zechariah, the son, oh, that's a long name, Mishlemiah, was keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, you see. And you see that they have to have all these gatekeepers and whatnot at the temple. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 220. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel the seer had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle, by assignment. And that's what they do today. They just assign people to different posts and whatnot. And hopefully they do the right thing and really be vigilant and guard the post. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, the west, north, and south, and their brethren and their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days. For in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and treasures of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had responsibility. See? Responsibility. And they were in charge of opening it every morning. See, that's how you know when things are going right, because people who have the responsibility handle their responsibility. And that's what we have here in the church. You know, we have certain people that we designate certain responsibilities, and hopefully they'll do it. And when they do it, then everything flows. Everything works out. Everything is done well. Well done. But here we're talking about guarding and watching over things. And so it's important that mankind be responsible for what he's doing. Because if he doesn't, well, he can be overtaken. It's easy, you know, to be lax. And then the enemy come in. We'll see a little bit more about that when you get to a person. Now, when Peter, I'm going to skip that one. Now, the scripture mentions several other important things that's done as far as being vigilant and watching over things. So what else are they to do? Report what they see. This is what the watchman did for David. He reported that he saw two men running toward the city. If a crime is committed, the police today even write out a report of what they saw or learned from an investigation. So in being vigilant and striving to do the right thing and get the right understanding of situations that do happen, police, when they show up on the scene, they need to write a good, important, honest report of what happened. They do a thorough investigation, you know, checking for fingerprints and DNA and whatever that they need in order to discover who the real criminal is, so that person can be punished for his crime. There are many times that sometimes they get the wrong person. So we want them to do a good job and get the correct person. Because we want the criminals off the street, you know, and the innocent people go home. That those people have their good time at their house. But the ones that have perpetrated crimes, we don't want them on the street. All right, just grab them and lock them up. The right person, you know. We want the criminals to be locked up, not the innocent people. Because when you lock up the wrong one, the criminal is still out there. He's still at large. And people cannot relax. They don't feel safe until that criminal is found. So keep looking for him until you find him. Especially you hear every now and then in certain cities that there are places where we didn't have no crime like that. All of a sudden, somebody is killing women or so. And, well, you need to find him because we don't have no peace of mind right now. So they jump on the police and then they call all the city officials. Get on it right now. You know, they'd be all upset. We don't have this around here. So in order to catch the criminal, we need for the police to make do good investigations and chase after people. Hopefully they don't have to chase them too hard because they start running into people, you know. There's so much problems, you know, in trying to apprehend criminals. Because they don't mind running over anybody or anything, you know, when they're trying to get away. But hopefully they'll catch them, you see. So this is the vigilance and being on guard to take care of the problems that may arise within the city. And we need people to take care of these things, and so we designate folks for that. And of course, you pay your taxes for, you know, the different people to be paid to take care of these different situations within the city. Because how would you like if they would say, all right, it's your turn to go out there and look for criminals? You wouldn't want to go. Right? You have to put a weapon on. You have to learn how to use the weapon. You have to learn the rules and the laws of how to apprehend criminals. Because you can't just go out there like, who's that, Rambo or some of these? That's movies, you know? We're talking about something that's real. So you wouldn't want to go out there. I wouldn't either. It's dangerous. I've seen, you know, some of the pictures on television where the police, you know, just stop somebody on the side of the road, you know, and they go up to the car, and the man pushed the police down and drive off. Some of them start a fight with the police. Well, his weapon is still in his pocket. He can't do anything but try to fight back. And they'd be rolling all on the ground and everything. So do you want to face all of that? No. Let him do it. You know, hire him. And he's supposed to be vigilant and striving to do the right thing to apprehend the criminals so that we all can be what? Safe. That's right. We want to be safe. So if you see something wrong, this is one part that you don't really want, but if you see something wrong, stop it if you can. All right? Now, if you have a mass shooting, I think you would probably just want to hide and try to escape, okay? But if there's a possibility, like say for instance a small crime, you might want to be able to put a stop to it. Now, you can, in certain states, you can make a citizen's arrest. You know that, huh? Yes, you can do it. But that's for something that's, you know, not too dangerous. Don't try to get out there and try to apprehend folks. So when the police today use their weapon, they have to even fill out a report. All these papers they have to fill out. And they sit them down and they fill out reports and they have to make sure they tell the truth and all of that, you know. And so, no, you don't want to go through all that, do you? No. Mm-mm. Now, some states, they allow citizens to carry weapons. So when I was in Branson, I saw a few people, they had weapons on their side. I say, well, really? I haven't actually seen that before, but seeing it, I say, wow, should I be alarmed or not? Should I feel safe? And so I figure, you know, because of the person, if you know the person, then you know his character, then you will begin to trust him and feel safe rather than feel alarmed because you see a man with a weapon on his hip, on his side. Automatic, too. Ready to really do something. Okay, other things that you can do in situations that you see is you call for help. Now, today we have our cell phones. Hopefully nobody will take it from us, but we have the cell phones and we can use those to call for help. Most of the time, that's what you will do, rather than call yourself doing a citizen's arrest, you know, because some of these people, they don't mind. They beat you up or kill you or whatever. It depends on the situation. But we have seen on the news several times where some people, they stop the criminal. That's right. I say, well, God bless them. I think I would have just, I don't know what I would have done. That's being brave. But we're thankful for them because they saved somebody, you see. And so also we can take pictures of the scene or the situation so that later on when a report is made out, they can use that picture and say, this is what happened. Say, are you telling the truth or telling a lie? Click, bring out that picture. Show it to them. And say, this is what I told you. This is my proof. Okay? So these are some important things that can be done in situations. You can sound an alarm and warn the people. To always be vigilant and watching out for thieves. Some people really don't want you to watch their house. But some people do. You know, let me know what's going on. But they don't want you to watch while they're doing what they're doing, you see, in their own house, you see. Don't be watching all of that. Just watch when I'm gone. So nobody will break in or do something they shouldn't be doing. Watch. What are we watching? Now, we may be away on a trip, at work, or play. So we hire someone to watch our goods so that we will not suffer loss. While others are doing something else, the watchman is watching. Do not just see what is happening, but do something about it, you see? That's why we hire the security guards or have somebody in the neighborhood, at least if they're watching and they see something go on, they call somebody, you know. But there was one lady, one year I heard she was supposed to be watching the neighbor's goods, a house, and I don't know what she did, how she let this happen, but somebody pulled up with a big U-Haul type truck, you know, and hauled the neighbor's goods away. And she said that, I thought it was you had sent somebody, you know. No, but people will not go on vacation or anything and then send somebody to go and get their furniture. But that's sort of what she said. I said, wow, that shouldn't have happened. You know, she should have had, well, you know, don't go over there when you see something like that happen. I think it's time to call the police, you know. Well, she let those people take her neighbor's furniture and all out the house. Strange. Watch out for the thieves. Okay, so we ask God to watch over us, and we want him to see our problems and help us. Some would say, come see about me. Okay? The one who misuse and abuse others think that God does not see them. It's not true. Because God's eyes in every place beholding the evil and the good. Let's go to Psalms 94. I want to read, start at verse 7 through 10. Psalms 94. Yeah, God sees and he knows what's going on in this earth. Yet you say, the Lord does not see. Does he really feel, see all? Right. Why would anybody think God doesn't see anything? Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise and have understanding? He who planted the eye, shall he not hear? The ear. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eyes, shall he not see? He knows how it works, you know, it's his. He made all of these. He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile, you see? Yeah, a man can do so much, but then there's a point where he fails. So we need God to be watching. Watching. God does see you and hear you. We have finite ability to perceive through the senses. His sight and hearing is more powerful. So do not wonder why we suffer so much. It may be because God is chastening us. Okay? But there are other times he comes to see about us. Because we do call upon him. I always ask him before I come to the Feast of Tabernacles, watch over me and my house. Right? Of course, that's every day, really. Watch over me. I might even be about to fall in the hole, you know, and then a thought come to me and says, you know, don't look out. There's a hole there. Sometimes you don't always perceive things. You don't see it. You might be walking backwards. I went to a store or something, and there's a little portion where you just one step down, and I had turned around and was talking to another person, to someone, a lady, saying hello and whatnot, and I was still walking, and she said, oh, just stop, you know. But I had actually seen that, you know. And I did do a light step rather than, you know, stumble and fall. See, so sometimes you don't see these things and somebody will try to help you, you know, to not fall. So if God is watching, then maybe most likely when we're not really paying attention to where we are going, he helps us and stops us at the right time. And that has happened to me before. So I'm grateful to God, you know, watching over me. God does see and hear you. We have finite ability to perceive through the senses. His sight and hearing is more powerful, so do not wonder why we suffer sometimes, okay? Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 9. Because God wants us to be vigilant and watch ourselves that we watch what we are doing. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. See, he's saying again, be vigilant. Okay? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you see, he's a person that is only spiritually discerned. We can't see him. So people will come to you with something. The schemers, you know. I always call them schemers because they're liars too. And they come up to you with some kind of scheme and they psych you and whatnot, and take advantage of you. But sometimes you perceive that this is happening, and you're able to escape. Now, in a situation like that, note that this is really God. Don't try to act like you are smart enough to avoid this person. I don't, because you know schemers. I mean, they get away with so much in this world. I just thank God, you know, when I perceive that a person has really just scheming on me, you know. give glory to God, because they get over on me. I'm not that good with perceiving liars and schemers. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So there are times when people will suffer from some kind of scheme of a sort and whatnot. So we pray for them, to overcome, especially in their heart, because if somebody get over on you, you feel kind of bad. You really feel down, But God will see us through all these things. He's still our comforter also, right? Very good comfortable in a time of trouble. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. Oh, yeah. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. All these are important portions of righteousness that we should follow. And then it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So fight the good fight of faith. Hold on fast to that which we were given. Because we were given all of these important principles, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That is what you use as your measuring stick as you deal with this world. That's how you are to walk and live in this world. Because mankind will use other ideas on how people ought to live, and they think that their ways are right. But we said that we have chosen God's ways so that we can walk therein. Why? Because he said he would bless us and show us his power and his ability to help us and aid us in all the that we undertake. Don't ever think that we're so smart that we can't be tricked or deceived or whatever. If God don't help us, we fall into many traps. So stay, continue in what God has given us, because there's a blessing in it. Do what is pleasing in God's sight. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And so he's saying right here in verse 13, watch, be vigilant, stand fast in the faith, and be brave and be strong. Yeah, don't fall by the wayside. Don't let the trials and the things that you go through wear you down to the point where you don't even want to, there's some people don't even want to walk with God anymore because of certain things that have happened in their lives, and they thought that maybe God was supposed to fix that. Well, you leave that up to him and thank him for what he does do. I don't dictate nothing to God. I just ask him, help me. That's what I say. And when he does, I say, thank you. That's it. What you know to be true, stand on that. And do not waver because of adversity or anything that has happened in your life. Stop whatever you are doing which would free you from being the man God calls you to be. Whatever it is you used to do, that's a sin and a transgression, and will cause you to not be pleasing to God, get rid of it. It's going to hinder you. And while you're being hindered, you see, people call on God and say, help me, and then they got these other things that they haven't gotten rid of. And they have these things that they really love. They put that before God. Family members, money. But then they call on God when they need help. I shall not have no other God before me. That's what he says. Colossians 2 and 4, right quick, and then we'll go to Colossians 4 and 2. Colossians 2 and 4 says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." You see, because the liars and deceivers are out here. Watch out and be vigilant. See, because we know what's right from what God's word teaches us. So that when we see people doing things that contrary to that, then we know something's wrong. Colossians 4 and 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, except the watchman watch you watch in vain. Pray and ask God to help you." Okay? And he will. And always be thankful, because God will come and help you. And when he does, don't just walk away like some folks do. They just go on about their business. But we should be thankful to God, because he comes at a time when we really honestly need him, because we go through situations that we cannot figure out what's going on sometimes. So we just call on him. And he fights the battle and takes care of the situation, and we'll be all right. And I've been through several things, and all I can do is say, well, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety," who's guaranteeing your peace and safety? Who's watching over the city for you? That's what some people will tell you, peace and safety, because as far as they're concerned, they're taking care of everything and they don't see no problem, right? But look at it. "Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." So who's watching for you? Do you have the wrong watchman? We want somebody that's vigilant to find out what's going on and give us the report and help us to make right decisions so that we will not be snared and taken. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day shall overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." All right, don't sleep as others do. "But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." Now we're talking about ourselves here. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." So are we watching our own selves now? Okay? Being vigilant and being sober in mind. Walking in the day and not in the night. You know how it is to walk in the night? I have those little night lights in my house, you know, I put those little things in the socket so I can see when I'm walking in the dark. I need that, you see. And so they help me out when I'm walking. But if I didn't have that, then I have to find the light switch to turn the lights on overhead so I can see where I'm going, because it's dark. It's really dark in the neighborhood, too. So, you see what I mean when I'm talking about walking in the dark? You can't see anything. So you try to do it, you know, and you feel with your feet, and then you stub your toe on something. You see? Because you're walking in the dark. But God said, walk in the light that he has given unto us so that we will not stumble and fall. We will not hurt ourselves. God is the one who gave us life. And that light leads us to life, not death. Hurts and pains. No stubbed toes. And brushing your shoulder up against the wall and getting hurt. Or even falling down. No, we want to be able to walk in the light that God has given unto us, so that that light will bring us to life that He is offering us. Mankind will stumble and fall, and they will not make it. But God has not called us to this wrath. No problems for us. We may go through some things, but God will see us through whatever it is that we're going through. Walk in the light. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "But you be watchful in all things." All things. "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Yes, do the work of an evangelist. This is the spiritual part of our lives. To do work for the glory and honor of God. But be watchful. Always be watchful in all things. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." You see, and to be sober in mind, that's to have a clean mind. That's right. But there's a lot of things that we're going to go through in life. And especially if you're an evangelist, you know, you'll be trying to tell people about the Lord. And they let you know some kind of, you know, sometimes they be kind of rough with you. You know. And I say, well, okay, if you don't want it, you know. The Bible says something about shaking the dust off of your feet. You don't have to go through all of that. Just walk away. Because if they don't want it, don't try to force it on them. Oh, no. They let you know they really don't want it, you know. So while they're peaceful, and just then just walk away, you know. Let's go to Revelation 3, verse 2 and 3. I'm getting close to the close. But I still have a few verses left. Okay, Revelation 3, verse 2 and 3. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know that hour that I come upon you." This is to the Sardis church. So you wouldn't even know when God comes. Spiritual discernment, you know. You don't have it. But he's saying be watchful and prayerful and strengthen those things that are lacking or dying. You know, we need to be strengthening ourselves in God. And hold fast to that which we have. And you know, if you have a weakness in your chain, you know, make it stronger. So that when God comes, he'll come, and not as a thief, you know, you'll know it. That's something how, you know, the scripture says that when the Lord returns, some people will want to attack him. But we're the saints of God. We wouldn't be lining up with that regiment. We'll be saying, "Ooh, that's the Lord." Okay? That's important to know who the Lord is. As opposed to what the Jews did. They said, "He's not our king." You know, that still bothers me. It really does. But nonetheless, that's what they said. But Jesus is our king. And when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So are we going to be ready to receive him? Not if we're not watchful and prayerful. Nope. We won't know. Just like the rest of the world. Let's go to Luke 12. So I can get all my verses in. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 35 through 40. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." See, when you're girded up, you're ready for something. Huh? You're ready for war? Spiritual warfare? Are you ready for when the Lord returns? Gird yourself up. Keep your lamps burning. Let your light shine. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Because you'll recognize him and you know him. See, we need to know God. And he needs to know us. Or he wants to know us. Good when he said, "This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching and being vigilant over their lives, that things are right and righteous in our lives and clean. Assuredly I say unto you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Isn't that something? The master will come and serve you. So glad to see you. After all the trials and tribulations that you have gone through, he said, "Welcome to my table." That's going to be a good time. Yeah, that'll be a wonderful time to sit at the table with the Lord and he serve us. My goodness. That warms my heart right there. It's really warm good, too. And if he should come the second watch or come the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So you just have to be ready. Don't be trying to get ready. We're trying to be ready right now. So that if he comes tomorrow, we don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't think so, but nonetheless, we're ready. You don't have to get ready when he comes. Because if you're trying to get ready, you might be like the 10 virgins whose lamp didn't have enough oil. They had to go and get some oil. And the bridegroom came and left. And then they said, "Come and open the door." No, you weren't there when the Lord came. So you were not ready. There's no getting ready. Let's get ready right now. Time is, people always say, time is winding up. Get ready for the bridegroom. Mark 13, verse 32 says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each of his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." See, you're watching the door of your heart. Keeping yourself godly and clean and before God. "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, that's coming suddenly, he finds you asleep." See, I mentioned to you before that some guards, they're not vigilant, they're not on guard duty. They go out there and some of them go to sleep. Okay? So that's the kind of watching we're doing over ourselves. Or is that the kind of watchman you want to watch your city? We could be overtaken by the adversary. And when I say to you, I say unto all, watch. That's what we need to do. So we are watching ourselves. We are being faithful. We are, as porters, watching ourselves and the signs of the times and watching our Lord and Savior's return, for His return. Because as we watch the signs of the times, we're watching to see what we need to avoid. Because there's a lot in this world that we need to avoid, so that we can walk with God and be in fellowship with Him. Okay? While we are watching, do not just stand there looking and hoping. You have to work. He wants us to work too. We see what is wrong with the world. Sound the alarm. Though many will not hear you, some will. They will heed the warning and be added into the church of God. Okay? But what about your children? See, this is Children's Day. I had to add that in because that's important too. What about the children? Are they supposed to be watching too? Let's go to Proverbs 22. I added this in. So, I don't have it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Now, here we are, adults, we have our children, and then we pray for them and dedicate them to God and whatnot. But this is the important thing that we also should do. Train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, children have minds also. And sometimes what they say, the mind is the devil's workshop. And that's if you let it go any kind of way it wants to go. But we're supposed to train them, teach them that they will know God and understand His ways, so that they can be vigilant and watch over themselves while you're watching, okay? Because you tell them, don't run in the street. Now that's for them to do. See? But if they make a mistake, you see, you're watching, so hopefully you grab them before they actually go out in the street, you see. But God has told us what we should do so that we could do it, you see. Because if God's doing it, then He's the one to get the crown, right? He's the one to get the benefit. But no, He said for us to do it so that we could be called the children of God, so that we're pleasing in His sight. We're striving to clean up our lives and our language and our hearts. Let it come from us. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, because that's another important verse that needs to be included here. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when He will say, I have no delight in them. You know why? Because there are things that's going to be happening in a child's life, especially as they grow up to be teenagers. There are going to be a lot of problems that they're going to have to face, and they have to make their own decisions. That's why the parents tell them, do this and don't do that. But they don't want to hear that. And later on, they find out, well, mother told me the right thing, and I'm sorry. Because, you know, a lot of times they mess themselves up. So what are some of the things that children have to go through? Problems for children. These are just a few that I have. Okay? Today, girls compete with boys who think they are girls in sports. That's happening. The girls lose. Because the men and the boys are stronger. Boys can lift heavier weights and run faster. And when they wrestle with these boys, boys are much stronger, so the girls always lose. Not a good thing, you know, happen. Now, in mixed restrooms, boys who think they are girls, they go to the girls' restroom now. Girls didn't have to face that years ago. See, but that's a change. That's something different. How many more things will they put out? for people to deal with. So they'd have the drag queen story hour and many other things that, you know, somebody, that was somebody's idea of something important to do. Wasn't done when I was in school, but I remember when I was in school, I had atheists and agnostic and whatnot, and they were teaching us a lot of things against God. All the schools pretty much teach against God, if you really want to know. So they're not happy with getting them in kindergarten, so they went to the library and catch them when they're 2 years old. Girls can get an abortion without parental consent. That's one of them. It's not everywhere, but, you know, it can be done. Teachers love to embarrass students. You know, they ask them questions. Do you believe in God? And if you say you do, then some of them, they'll bring you up to the front of the class and embarrass you. That you know that there's no God. That's what they said when I was in the service. They said, God is dead. Well, they're still trying to kill him, but a lot of people still believe in him. I raise my hand. I do. But they're trying to get rid of him. But when I was in school, I wasn't one of the students who raised their hand and said, God, I believe in God and all these things, you know. I was just sitting there scared and wondering what's going on. You know, I didn't ever expect nothing like that, you know, coming up as a child, you know, that people would be saying there's no God when I grew up in the church. Since I was a child, I knew about God. And then here's the school trying to tell me there is no God. So, I kept quiet because I didn't really know what to say. But I found, you know, I read some articles recently, and it says that some children stood up and say, I believe in God, and the teacher brought them up to the front of the roof and tried to embarrass them. Sometimes the children turned the tables on the teacher, and the teacher was embarrassed. I said, I like that. I like that. But it happened, too. Okay, children are still being bullied. That's right. All kind of bullying is still going on. They even use the cell phones for that now, you know, to bully somebody. Well, one of the important things is that children always want to be accepted by somebody, you know, and find themselves in some kind of group. And we all did that. I went through that too. You wanted to feel like you were somebody. You're all right. And have somebody say that. But you have to watch out for who says that. Because some of the people who know about these things, they'll draw you into a game. You see? And then before you know it, you're killing somebody over here in another neighborhood, and they're trying to kill you and whatnot. Instead of us trying to act like we're friends and caring about one another, they have these turf wars. It's something stupid. And I said before that why would you get involved with a turf war when they don't own nothing, you don't own nothing, but you're going to fight over some turf. It's not yours. Oh, yeah, so to be accepted by somebody. So a lot of things happen like that, you know, for young people coming up in the world, and we all need to find out where we need to be, where we can find our joy and peace and happiness. But the parents always say, don't get involved with no gangs. I would like to add, you know, don't be involved in sororities and fraternities. You know? Some people get involved with it and say it's no big deal, you know. But I don't know. They say there's more to it than that. And I'm glad I never joined the Masons and all these secret societies. All of that's out there. And when they take God away from you, then there's all these things for you to get involved with. And witchcraft and everything. And that's what happened to several people. They went to college and professor said there's no God. So he said, well, what can I get involved in? And he got involved in witchcraft. Well, we give him God to help him out. So he wasn't vigilant enough and watching over his mind and his heart. So that's how he became involved in witchcraft. But a lot of things in this world we really don't need. We need God. That's what we need. So we call upon him while he is near so that he can come to see about us and answer our prayers. Okay? Now I'm watching the signs of the time. We hear more and more people who say that a certain date will be the end of the world. What are the source of their prediction? Did y'all remember that man, his name was Camping? I forgot his first name. He said he knew when God was coming. And a lot of people were following this man. And I was told, that pay attention to him because he knows what he's talking about. And I said, no, he don't. Scripture clearly says nobody knows. So how does he know? Where does he get his information from? He didn't get it from God. Watch your man. Don't let people psych you. The man was wrong. And now he's deceased and God still haven't come yet. There's a lot going on in this world and things that we have to watch out for. Because people are not teaching from the Word of God. Okay? So why would you believe him? He mentioned something that came from his own mind. He said he did some calculations of a sort or something like that he did, but it still was wrong. The Lord is not here yet. More people would rather listen to a false prophet than to believe the word of God or someone who sent to warn him. You see, when the prophets of old were sent to Israel and sent to kings, they didn't want to hear to kill the prophets. So they believe any story except the real story that can save them and help and bless them. And they want to know, but they do not listen to the right voice. So they are in darkness and end up slaughtered or crushed. Well, God may reveal more to us as time goes along. Remember, Jesus opened the understanding of his disciples so that they could understand what was presently happening. So there are predictions revealed in the scripture, but not yet fully understood. That understanding may be given as time unfolds. So we want to continue with God. Okay? And as far as the children are concerned, they need to know God. They need to hear what God is saying so that it will guide their lives. Just like a father guides his own children, teach them how to mow the lawn and do some gardening and whatnot. Some children learn how to hunt. I didn't have all of that. But my father, no. He was trying to teach me a job. He was a roofer. I learned some of that. Wasn't very good at it. But that's how you get started in life with your own father. And then your father turns you over to the Holy Father who is able to deal with us not only from the physical but to the spiritual part of our lives. So our lives are important to us, and we love those who we love, but above all, who's watching? Are you watching? The signs of the times and watching ourselves so that things can go right with us as we see things happening. Make the corrections if we can. And ask God to help us because he's there to lead us and see us through whatever we are going through. And what I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch and pray and live holy every day.